today as we come to the table.
Dusting off their feet, saying, you know what? You're not even worthy of us to take your dirt with us. Pretty heavy statement here. It wasn't that God didn't love them. It wasn't that Paul and Barnabas didn't love them. They're saying God has offered his love, and you have so aggressively rejected it that you've put yourself in a category of the enemy of God, and they moved on. And notice you would think it would say, because of this opposition, they cowered back, and they kind of hid for a while, didn't know what to do. Look at verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Again, when you know you're standing on the Word of God and doing the work of God, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be joy, even in opposition.
Opposition to the advancement of God's word always follows revival and movements of God. Satan, the enemy, doesn't want to lose more people doomed to hell with him. He wants them to serve him and ultimately have the same judgment he does. When God moves, so does Satan. You need to be ready for it. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will warn you to be on the lookout for Satan's opposition. Living out your faith isn't guaranteed to be a walk in the park, and Satan will do what he can to make sure of that. But if your hope is in the Lord for salvation, and you keep your heart focused on His will, you have nothing to fear. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 13, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Paul says, here's what the Word of God says. God came for Gentiles too. And you Jews who think you're all going to heaven, even you're going to be excluded if you don't repent. But here's the scripture to back it up. Look what he said. The Lord commanded us, I've set you, that is the Jews, as a light to the Gentiles. You're supposed to be reaching them, not telling them they're condemned. That you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. So you need to get the message out to bring them into the kingdom, not be pushing them away from the kingdom. And notice here it says in verse 48, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Two huge things here. Number one, notice this, when the Gentiles heard it, they were glad. You better believe it. They were super glad. Why? Because this is, again, that message they heard last week and all the friends they brought back to you. You mean I can be saved? Even the rat that I am and the sin that I'm in and the mess of drugs and alcohol and free sex and all that. You mean I can be saved? Yes. Yes, if I can, you can. And that's the God that we serve. But it's got to be from the heart. And it's got to be real. They were excited. You know, as the Bible says, whosoever will believe, Jesus will accept. God's desire is that none perish. It is not his will that any perish. So everybody in this room, the gospel is for you. I know a lot of you already know the Lord, maybe everyone. But there could be some of you that don't. And God is saying, right now, I'm calling you and I'm convicting you. Respond to it. Well, these Gentiles did. They responded. And notice he goes on and says, note this. Theological bump here, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Mark, I thought you taught just a couple of weeks ago that man has a choice, and you can either choose God or not, and you pointed out, you know, where the Lord said, choose life, choose this day whom we'll serve, choose life, don't choose death, and all the different things we talked about, I did. Well, now this says appointed, so is it choice or predestination? And the answer is yes. Yes, it's both. It's both. But I can't reconcile that. That's not our job. Guys, listen. The Bible teaches predestination. It is an undeniable fact. The Bible teaches free choice. It is an undeniable fact. Now, probably in some of your minds, you got pushed in certain directions already right there. But I want to share something with you. Listen. The bottom line is that the Bible teaches both. I could do a very strong, solid message on predestination. And I could give piles of scripture and just make it ironclad. Next week, I could do another strong message on free choice and give you piles of scripture and make it ironclad. Now, do I understand that? No. The Bible teaches both, so I believe both. And it should never be something that divides the body of Christ. We can have our opinions, we can have our thoughts or whatever, but again, for hundreds of years, the church has been divided over these issues, and I'm convinced if you just go to the Word of God, you're gonna see both there. Our choice is to believe both because God teaches both. And guys, remember, we start from a fallen brain. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We can't understand all the ways of God. I believe when we get in heaven, it'll be very clear. It'll make sense. And I can promise you, when we get into heaven, there's not gonna be two different groups saying, oh, we were the right ones. No, you were the wrong ones. Oh, I told you so. That's not gonna happen. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're gonna be in the kingdom together and say, you know what? Let God sort that out. My job is simply to believe and to lead others to Christ the best I can. And you know what? When the Bible teaches that we're appointed, you're gonna hear me say, we're appointed. You're predestined. When the Bible says there's a choice, you're gonna hear me say, you have a choice. You need to make a choice today. And so I believe that both are true. That is my position on that, and that has been my search in the scripture over the years. And again, that's what I believe the Bible teaches. And it certainly is not something we should be dividing over as a body. But notice what happens here in verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Now notice the result of their boldness and standing with the Lord. Here's what happened. Their first attack of the enemy was persecution. It says they were persecuted and they had to flee. But the persecution and the fleeing led to the word of God spreading the same way it did when they were persecuted in Jerusalem. That is, they grew in boldness and they continued to share the word of God everywhere they went. How did they grow bold and not shrink back? Again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And guys, this is what we have to be filled with the Spirit to have God's boldness. There are some people that are naturally bold. I admire those people. But most of us are not naturally bold. I'm not naturally bold. I'm not one of those naturally bold people. And I can share you story after story where I have failed in my testimony. I have failed in my witness. But I know the difference. The times that I fail and the times that I don't fail is when I've been praying and I'm filled with the Spirit. Then I don't fail. Which shows me it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Mark's going to continually fail. But the Lord never fails. And so if you're finding yourself losing opportunities to share the gospel, if you're finding yourself shying away when you know you should have shared, we've all had that, right? Oh, I should have shared, I didn't, right? Fill me with your Spirit, God. I need your power. This was Paul and Barnabas. They were walking in the filling of the Holy Spirit. They were walking in the power of the Lord. And so the word of God was spreading. But again, notice this is where they're gonna be persecuted and run out of town because of this. I got ahead of myself on that. But notice, but the Jews stirred up the devout and the prominent women and the chief men of the city. So they found the important people of the city. They stirred them up. These guys are causing trouble. We gotta get rid of these guys. You know, shut this down or whatever the case might be, right? And they raised up a persecution. Again, attack number one from the enemy. They raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. Guys, you're gonna face persecution if you go out boldly in the name of the Lord. There's no way around it. I wish I could say, give your life to the Lord and you'll never have any troubles anymore. Everything's great. No, give your life to the Lord and then it really gets interesting because that's oftentimes when the greatest persecution begins. Whether it's your family, whether it's at work, whether it's just in the world, whatever the case might be, you're gonna face persecution. They faced it as well. They literally were so persecuted, they expelled them out of the city, but it didn't stop Paul and Barnabas. Here's the key to recognize. They were just getting bolder and bolder as this went on because they're trusting in the Lord, and they knew they were standing on the word of God. They knew they were doing the work of God, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. And when those elements are in place, there's nothing that can stop you. So it didn't matter about the persecution. They weren't obnoxious. They weren't rude. They weren't trying to force anything down anyone's throat. They were simply sharing the truth of the word. When they kicked them out, well, they had to leave because they were kicked out. It doesn't tell us how they kicked them out, but they did. And look at verse 51. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. Now, this was a very, very dramatic statement to the Jewish people. This would have been really, you talk about getting them even more angry. I mean, it's like they went from you're not worthy of heaven to we're going to the Gentiles to dusting off feet. Why? Because the Jewish people specifically believed that when they left the Holy Land and they traveled to other areas, when they came back in, they had to dust off their feet because they didn't want to bring the dirt of the world from those other places back into the Holy Land. So they would literally dust off their sandals. And that's why the Lord used that as an analogy. He said, when you go to all the cities of the Jews and you preach the gospel, he said, if any of those cities reject you, then you dust your feet off and let them see it. Do it right in their sight. Dust off your feet. He was making a statement saying, you know what? You don't want God? Then that's fine. You're not worthy to have God would be the idea, because you know better. You've had the word of God as Jews for thousands of years. You have no excuse for rejecting. You had all the signs, all the scriptures for your Messiah, etc. So it was a very dramatic statement. So when Paul and Barnabas did this, you know, I doubt they were by themselves. They may have been. Even if they had been by themselves, they would have dusted their feet off, right? Just for symbolic. But if they did it in front of the Jews, this would have made them even madder as they were leaving, dusting off their feet, saying, you know what? You're not even worthy of us to take your dirt with us. Pretty heavy statement here. It wasn't that God didn't love them. It wasn't that Paul and Barnabas didn't love them. They're saying God has offered his love, and you have so aggressively rejected it that you've put yourself in a category of the enemy of God, and they moved on. And notice, you would think it would say, because of this opposition, they cowered back, they cowed back, and they kind of hid for a while, didn't know what to do. Look at verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Again, when you know you're standing on the word of God and doing the work of God, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be joy, even in opposition, even in persecution. Nobody likes persecution, but even in persecution, there is joy when you know you're doing the work of the Lord and you're standing in the right place. That's what they experienced, and that's what we will experience as well as we move forward serving God. Now we come to chapter 14, and there in verse 1, they moved to the different town, now Iconium. We're going to see the last two attacks of the enemy here. Not the last total, but for today. Notice it says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. Guys, note this. The ministry is only becoming more and more successful, which means it's even a greater and greater obstacle and enemy to Satan and the demonic realm. They already had limited success back in Antioch. They got run out of town there, although, you know, that doesn't sound good, but really it was a good result because of what happened. Now they go to Iconium, and God pours out a spirit in even a greater way. Or else the people were more receptive. We don't know. But even a large number of Jews now give their life when they hear probably very close to the same message that we read in chapter 13 that he gives in this synagogue as well. And then also now the Gentiles hearing this, and a bunch of them get saved. And so you can already predict what's going to happen. Expect more trouble. Again, the demonic realm's not going to sit around and go, you know what? I'm so proud of you guys. You're really reaching, you know, your area for the lost. You're doing a great job. No. They man the fort. They get their people together, their demonic realm. Let's go after them. And that's exactly what we're going to see here. Again, the people do the attacking, but the Bible tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in heavenly places. So look what happens. But the unbelieving Jews, that is, they were religious. They were there at the synagogue following, going through all the motions, kind of like what I used to do. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. And note this, they poisoned their minds against the brethren. Such a serious thing here again to think about. Did you think that a mind could ever be poisoned? A mind can be poisoned. And I'll tell you something, when you get someone that has a poisoned mind, there's almost no antidote. There's almost no antidote. I've watched this over the years between different brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, where somebody says something, somebody does something, and this now brings in the second attack of the enemy, and that is, first was persecution, now we see gossip and slander. And why does Satan use gossip and slander? It is so incredibly effective. There's probably nothing more powerful to divide believers, nothing more powerful to divide churches, nothing more powerful to stop a ministry moving forward than effective gossip and slander. Satan knows that. It's interesting. One small mischaracterization can completely change someone's viewpoint of another person. And here's the thing I've noticed, sometimes for a lifetime. There may be some of you that had a run-in with a brother or sister in the Lord, and you've forgiven them. Okay, you've done the right thing. You've let it go. You've forgiven. But you'll never look at them the same again, will you? Now, you know, you will look at them in love again. You know when that's going to be? Kingdom of God. When you get in heaven, you're not going to go, finally, now we get to face off again here before God, and we're going to deal with this right here and now. You know, ding, 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 in this corner, you know, whatever, right? You know what it's going to be? We're going to be going, I don't know. Look, I was fallen. I was led by my emotions and whatever. Even if it was wrong, I know you're forgiven. The blood covers it, and the blood covers me. I love you. Let's enjoy the Lord forever. And that's what it's going to be. You're not going to be fighting the emotions. You're not going to be fighting the feelings. And don't get me wrong. You've probably really been done wrong. I'm not denying if you've been done wrong. I'm saying in the kingdom, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. And it's so wonderful if we can resolve it here, but we can't always. The Bible says, be at peace with all men when possible, or when it lies within your strength. It doesn't always do that. But the reality is it poisons the mind. As I said, sometimes for a lifetime. I've seen people that have been separated for life because of this. And again, there's no antidote. And once we get into heaven, I wonder how many times we're going to be thinking, why in the world was that such a big deal? Why did I not let that go? Now seeing the Lord, seeing his scars and realizing what he did for me, how can I not let that go for them? And again, I realize we're going to have different insight. I realize we're going to be there. And I realize it's all going to be restored in heaven. But it's such an effective, effective tool. I ran across a personification of gossip that I want to read you guys. I think it's powerful. Listen to what it says. It says, "My name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I'm cunning and malicious, and I gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims, they're helpless. They can't protect themselves against me because I have no face. To track me down, almost impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never, ever the same. I topple governments, wreck marriages, wreck friendships, ruin careers, cause sleepless nights, heartaches, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses." I don't know who wrote that, but I thought, wow, they captured what it does. This is why Satan keeps going back to it. He knows our vulnerabilities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our emotions. And it's amazing, even as much warning as we can get, it's so easy to find ourselves falling back into it. It's a constant battle. That's why David said, "God, guard my tongue." You know, I pray that a lot. You know, the Bible says, where many words are, sin is not lacking. Well, I speak a lot of words. And I've had a lot of sin over the years because of this mouth. I wish I could take them back, but I can't. But I can start from right now and say, "God, guard my wicked tongue." Because as it says in James, who can tame it? Mine can't be tamed. You know, it's like, whatever. Just put it in there and lock it down, right? And so it's not that we're going to be perfect from here on out as far as this goes, but we have to be aware of this so we can pray against it and we can recognize it and stop it if it's happening, and then also allow God to change us in that area. And I will say this about gossip and slander. Look, if we've had gossip and slander come against us, God's going to be our defense. We're going to see that. God will protect us. And if we've done gossip and slander, we need to ask forgiveness. Make it right with man. Make it right with God. It oftentimes will not heal the situation. I've seen people repent and humble themselves, and it's still, the mind is too poisoned and it's done. I've seen that happen. But sometimes it does. Either way, we're right now with God and we're right with man. And that's all we can do until heaven. And then again, in heaven, it won't matter. But we do the best that we can, and we guard there. But these guys are innocent, right? They've done nothing wrong, and the enemy's throwing the gossip and slander toward them, if you will, in this whole process. And so God's going to be their protector. Again, notice they stirred up. They poisoned their minds with all this stuff. Notice, look at verse 3. "Therefore," and I would expect it to say, because of that, they just, you know, ran away, and they got quiet. "Well, what do we do now? Let's regroup and make a new plan." I love verse 3. "Therefore, they stayed there a long time." They had piles of gossip and slander coming out, and they said, "You know, we're just going to stay here and continue to minister because all this is happening." Wow. Why? Because they knew they were innocent. They knew they were clean before God. They knew they were, whether man knew it or not, they knew they were clean, and they were called to do this job. "God, we're going to stay. We're going to preach the word boldly. We're going to move forward in what we're doing, and God's going to reward it." And see, that's, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And so we're right with God, we know it, and whether or not anybody else believes it or not, you guys can do that. Some of you in your office place, you've been attacked. I had somebody come up to me last night in their office place. There's a lot of gossip about them, and I don't know what happened, but they're saying, "Look, this is just all lies and blah, blah, whatever the, you know, the case might be." And of course, I want to believe my brother, you know, but the bottom line is that, look, if that's the case, just continue to be bold in love, in your faith, move forward in the things of God, let God sort out the details, and God will do that. This is what Paul and Barnabas do. Notice this, it said they stayed there a long time and they spoke boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Guys, notice these two things. Because they were standing right with God, although they were being attacked verbally, God was bearing witness by his grace. That is, God was showing those that were around Paul and Barnabas, "Hey man, these guys are of God. These guys are walking right with me. They're doing the right thing." And so God was already defending them in that. And if that wasn't enough, God backed it up with signs and wonders. God said, "You're going to see my power working through them. You're going to see my anointing upon them to validate that I'm standing with them and that I'm behind them." And so again, God will do the same thing for you. Again, in your workplace, in your family, wherever. Trust that God's going to be your defense. He will be. God will be. Sometimes you don't get immediate vindication. Sometimes you don't get immediate satisfaction. And by the way, there may be some things you've done in your life that won't be straightened out till heaven, even though you did nothing wrong. But in heaven, everybody's going to know. One day, you'll be fully vindicated, right? And of course, you know how we are. We want that full vindication. But if we've done something wrong, we want that kind of hidden. But that's human nature, right? But both will be settled in heaven, and both will be satisfied. Our job is to see if we can satisfy them as much as we can while we're here. But God was now bearing witness, "These are my servants." And look at verse 4. "But the multitude of the city was divided, Part sided with the Jews and part sided with the apostles. And again, this is what always gossip and slander brings in division. And when a violent attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they wanted to kill them, in other words, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. Now, there was nothing wrong with them fleeing. The Lord said, if they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. They weren't being afraid. It was simply saying, okay, we've done all we can do here. They're going to kill us if we stay. We certainly can't spread the gospel anymore if we're dead. So we're going to move on to the next place. And again, here comes the third attack of the enemy, and that is violence, actually a threat of physical violence. I've experienced all of these over the years. I've never had anybody say they were going to kill me, but I have had somebody threaten to come down and beat me up, and they probably would have been able to. But either way, that happens. When you do ministry, that's going to come your way because people don't want to, if God's doing the work, they want to try to shut the work down in whatever way. I know other pastors, and this has never happened to me because I'm not a big enough fish in the pond, so to speak. There are pastors out there that get regular death threats. People are threatening their life on a regular basis, you know? And so the same thing that was happening back here with Paul and Barnabas is still happening today with those who go out boldly and preach the gospel. So don't be intimidated by these things. It doesn't sound like that could be a very scary thing if somebody made some kind of threat like that, but I want to encourage you guys in something. I've said this before, I'm going to keep saying it. You're not going anywhere until God says, you know, you're not going to go anywhere. Nobody's going to take you out. No accident's going to happen. If it's your time, it's going to be your time. And you're going to go, if you're walking with the Lord, God has it on your calendar when you're going to enter the kingdom of God. And here's the good news, you'll never die. You never die. You know, I used to hear that when I was an early believer, a baby believer, and I believed it, but didn't fully grasp it. And truly, I understand it now to the depths of me. I'll never die. You're not going to die. Everybody in here, one day you may move. You're going to move from this body to the next into the kingdom, but you'll never die. You won't experience the pains of death. And I can tell you, after all these years of ministry, I have never seen a panicked believer at the moment of death, ever, ever. I've seen some nervous believers when they first get the news. Looks like you're dying. Here's what's going to happen. I've seen that kind of look of, oh my goodness. What about my family? What about all these? And you see that look and you pray with them and encourage them. But when it comes time, they're all smiles. Jesus is good and I'm going to be in the kingdom soon. Why? It's supernatural. God is going to give you what you need at that time. I believe with all my heart, you're not going to be afraid. I think you're going to be courageous. I think in some ways you might be looking forward to stepping into the kingdom because God is in control and God is gracious. He said, you'll never die. You'll never experience the sting of death. It says that in 1 Corinthians, which means you'll just simply move from this body. And the moment you move out of it, you're there in the kingdom. There's the angels, there's the Lord, and you're in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. All issues dealt with. Now, I said that one time and somebody was afraid that maybe I was encouraging, you know, saying that it might be good to die. I'm not saying that. We need to live for Christ. God brought us here to live for Christ and to serve Christ and to do that until he takes us in the kingdom. And then we work for him and we stir up reward. All I'm saying is that when the believer does come to that time, there's no need to panic because God is going to take care of us and God is going to be gracious. And notice what it says here, the last verse, they were preaching the gospel there. So they continued on in their boldness, preaching the gospel. Guys, today, look, a couple things. One is if you step out in faith in the Lord, you're going to face opposition. It goes with the territory. It's not fun, but it's going to happen. These are three of the ways it happens. There's a lot more. But be mentally prepared. The enemy's not going to be encouraged that you're out there leading people to Christ. But secondly, know this. If you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God will fill you and God will give you boldness, even as he did Paul and Barnabas. So ask God on a regular basis. The Bible says to do it regularly. I do it every day. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need your power today. God will be faithful to do that.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts, a powerful account of how the early church was established and spread throughout the world. Acts shows us the bold faith of the apostles, the power of the Holy Spirit at work, and the unstoppable growth of God's kingdom despite opposition. Just as the early believers relied on God's strength to proclaim the gospel, we too are called to live boldly for Christ in our daily lives. Their stories remind us that no obstacle or difficulty is too great to overcome when God is leading the way. Trust that God is for you and with you as you journey in your faith. If you have any questions or prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you and pray with you. You can give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. Come to the Table is a media ministry based out of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to visit Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Feel free to check our website for service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, we trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching in Acts. Please make a point to join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach biblical truths and practical applications on living out the Christian faith from this inspiring book, right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.